Well, let's talk about back pain. Of course, one of those issues that almost everyone has experienced in some form or another. It can be completely debilitating for some people, and it can also be very, very tricky to solve. Now, when other options are exhausted, spinal surgery can be the only option, and a lot of people are very fearful of that. And there are some incredible technologies around these days, though, that makes something as complex as spinal surgery much more approachable and minimally invasive, believe it or not. Here to tell us more are our good friends and commercial partners at Sydney Adventist Hospital, harnessing the latest scientific advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect and care that you deserve. That's whole person healthcare. Joining me is neurosurgeon and spine surgeon, Dr. Shanu Gambhir. Thanks for your time, Doc.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
Now, Shanu, what kind of things would cause someone to need spinal surgery?
Aging spine can cause a lot of problems, things like disc herniation, spinal stenosis, osteofibromation, and that can lead to nerve compression as the nerves travel through the spine in the spinal canal. And nerve compression can lead to not only just back pain, but also, more importantly, pain in the legs. That can be cause a lot of disability to the patients.
And of course, in the past, as I said, a lot of people think, oh no, spinal surgery, that's really tricky and complicated, as good as you guys are at doing it. But now these things can be minimally invasive. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, so there's been decades of research and advancement in technology, in surgery in general, and also in spine surgery. One such technology that I want to talk about today is something called endoscopic spine surgery. This technology means that we can do spine surgery with about an 8 millimeter skin incision. It's done through something called an endoscope, which is 7 millimeters. It has a high definition camera in the front and a very small working channel. So the entire spine surgery can be performed with a very small skin incision.
That is quite extraordinary. And the recovery and rehab for one of those sorts of surgeries, I'd imagine because of the less invasive technique, it would be a lot better, I presume.
Yeah, absolutely, compared to traditional techniques. Because of a very small incision, there's certainly less collateral tissue damage, which leads to less postoperative pain, less use of narcotics, and leads to quicker recovery and return to work and function. So usually patients would can sometimes be discharged the same day or the next day from the hospital, and they're sort of eating, drinking, walking the same day. So it's fairly rapid recovery compared to traditional surgery.
How much of this technique is robotic? And while we're talking about that, to what extent is the technology telling us about potential robotic surgery in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So robotics have been introduced in spine surgery. At this stage, robotics can be used for certain parts of spinal surgery procedure. For example, insertion of pedicle screw replacement, which is used more in the spinal fusion surgery. But in future, you know, I can see that I'm sure the robots would perform the entire spine surgery together, and there'll be some sort of relationship or marriage between the endoscopic spine surgery and robotic spine surgery.
And is that simply because of its precision?
Yeah, the endoscopic spine surgery, because it's done through a very small hole, the precision has to be very high, and we are very targeted towards the pathology, and therefore things like advanced navigation and robotic techniques will be critical in future.
How long would an endoscopic operation take? And I presume it's under general.
It's at the moment it's done under general anesthetic. The procedure takes about 1 to 2 hours. In certain pathologies and in future, we are hoping that we can do this procedure while the patient being awake.
And what's the benefit of that?
Well, being awake is the best form of neuromonitoring. So if you are around a nerve and if there is any chance of injuring the nerve, the patient will feel the pain. So that's the best form of neuromonitoring. We use all kinds of neuromonitoring to alert us for any nerve injury. So the main advantage of doing it awake is, one, obviously you avoid the risk of the general anesthetic, which there are a few, and secondly, it's the best form of avoiding any nerve injury.
Okay. What about for people like me who want a general anaesthetic when they have a splinter taken out? I suppose you don't get a choice, do you?
It's definitely patient's choice, and you know, I would certainly, you know, until we can do the procedure, maybe within half hour, 35 minutes, and a bit of sedation, making you know, that only then.
What kind of prep do people need to take care of in the lead up to spinal surgery?
Some of the key things would be to make sure that if your symptoms have changed, to alert the surgeon, because sometimes the pathology can advance and the symptoms can go from one leg to the other one. And not lifting any heavy objects or excessive bending can also cause sort of bad effects on spine surgery.
And, of course, the best thing would be to not need surgery in the first place. If you're getting to that sort of age when, of course, you know, your body movement isn't as easy as it used to be and you're not as flexible as you used to be, what advice do you have to keep your spine healthy and, of course, avoid this kind of surgery in the first place?
Absolutely. So surgery should always be the last resort, and there's a lot of lifestyle modifications that we can all sort of take into practice in everyday life. So things like, you know, weight loss, always keep your, you know, be in good posture, perform sort of daily or secondary exercises for core strengthening. So having an active lifestyle is really the key.
Do you find still, despite the technologies available, that the great expertise, we're so lucky to have people like you operating on us in this country for a start, but do you find people are still concerned about spinal surgery? It's a little bit stigmatized, isn't it? They're very worried about what might happen.
Absolutely. The stakes are high when you're dealing with brain or spine surgery. Fortunately, because of the number of years of training that we do and so much advancement in the latest technology making spine surgery very safe these days, the risk of spine surgery having any bad outcome is really less than 1%. And of course, it depends on the pathology, but most of the degenerative conditions that we treat these days, the risk of anything bad happening, such as paralysis, for which the spine surgery has got a bad name for, is fortunately very small.
Mm. And that whole thing of the robotics that you talked about, we're just obviously getting into that technology, I presume, and that is very exciting for the future. There's a lot of breakthroughs being made, I'd imagine, in those areas.
Absolutely, and we've just recently purchased a robot at the San Hospital, and it's certainly been very helpful to perform parts of her spinal surgeries.
Amazing stuff. Dr. Shanu Gambhir, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.